While we're talking about cycling, I want to talk to a man who's done a most unusual charity bike ride on his own. It started way back in May 2012. Yes, it's January 2017, and he's still going. He's still pedalling. His name's David Wren, well known to a lot of people in Melbourne, of course, on this radio station, as one of the original co-hosts of Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen. Of course, hosted all those great early trips across to the Masters and all sorts of things, and was a golf pro at Coringle and Werribee, amongst other things. Hello, Rennie.
G'day, Kev. How are you, mate?
I'm going well, mate. Now, where are you?
I'm in Griffith, New South Wales, which is my hometown.
I was going to say, it's the birthplace of the David Wren.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's no monuments here or anything for me.
Not yet. Not yet. Hey, tell us, I mentioned this started back in May 2012. Take us through how it all sort of came to pass.
Well, I got into bike touring about 15 years ago, and which involves packing up a bike, putting four pannier bags on, carrying a tent and all clothing and food and laptops, and when I'm fully loaded, it's about 35 kilos. And I did a few short trips. And when I say short trip, I've ridden 2,000 k's down through Vietnam, the length of Vietnam. I've done South America. I did Lhasa in Tibet to Kathmandu by bike. And then that all went over a period of about 10 years. And then I decided to do the ride from my ancestral village in Ireland, which is about 50 k's out of Dublin, and ride home to my hometown here. And then obviously the obvious place to finish up will be Melbourne, where I live now.
Yep. And the motivation behind it, Rennie?
Look, the motivation behind it is mostly personal, but my mum also passed away over the last 10 years, or about 6 years ago, from she copped the dementia, a severe sort of form of dementia. And so I've been right. That's part of the reason I've been writing and raising money for Dementia Care Australia, or Spark of Life, which is their fundraising foundation.
Yep, and obviously, I mean, dementia is an awful, debilitating, terrible thing to have happen to anybody. And you've been obviously raising money across here, but in terms of, we talk about, what has the bike ride done for you over that amount of time?
Look, it meets a lot of my sort of personal challenges each day. And often the question I get asked from people is, why and yep. What does it feel like and for what reason? And that's not blasé, but it's just a tough answer to answer. But it's a challenge every day, and it's more of a mental challenge opposed to that physical challenge. I mean, I explain to people, if somebody said to you, go and ride 100 k's on a bike, even if you hadn't ridden a bike, you could physically do that if your life was on the line, physically you can do that. It's the mental torture of it all day, which is some crazy addiction to that, Kev, which is, I start out at daybreak every day, and I'm on the bike from ending up, 6 hours up to 12 or 13 hours. And I'm coming across Nullarbor, had a couple of 13-hour days where we just had to get to the next rest stop or next petrol station where there was a motel or a hotel. In answer to your question, it's a challenge of it every day, which I really enjoy.
What gets you through that, Rennie? I mean, we talk to swimmers who, jump in the pool and swim for 2 or 3 hours, and all they look at that black line. When you're coming across the Nullarbor and you're on the bike on your own and you're just pedaling, I mean, what are you thinking about?
Try to think about as less as possible. I don't have any. I don't carry a GPS or a speedo on the bike.
Okay.
Australia was a little bit different to a lot of other countries because there were markers on the road saying, 50 k's or 60 k's or 65 k's to go, so you tend to start watching numbers. But I personally find that distracting. I know I'm going to get there at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The Nullarbor was probably the toughest ride so far because the leg of all the 18,000 kilometres that I've done, because I just had a southeasterly all the way. So I'm talking a headwind on a dead flat road. That's the hardest conditions to ride under, and that does get mentally mentally challenging.
What about
when you get there at the end of the day? I always get there at the end of the day.
What about when you're going through Central Asia and Uzbekistan and all those sorts of places? What keeps you going through that?
The fun part. Well, that was probably the most fun part, was through
really
Turkey, Iran, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and the back blocks of China. I was in 10 weeks ago. I was in Western China. It was -6. Was the high for the day. But what's really enjoyable with traveling on a bike is when you arrive in a village at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and, it's freezing cold or 45 degrees or whatever it is, that people look at you. The first thing is they look at you and go, what the hell are you doing here?
Yep.
Then it's, you know, how can we assist?
Well, you're a shifty looking bloke for a start, Rennie, so they would do that anyway.
Yeah, there's something you have to start off with. But look, in through the stands, definitely, they were extremely friendly people. I'd have people stop on the side of the road and give me sliced up cucumber and water and fruit and, you know, stop and help and, you know, ask me if I needed help, which is, you know, fantastic. I've learned a lot about different cultures and our perceptions of what those cultures are like from afar. But when you actually get in there, you know, Iran as an example, the friendliest people I ever came across for the whole journey was the Iranians. And that's what makes the riding overseas the fun part, as opposed to landing in an airport, staying in a three-star hotel and having access to a Starbucks around the corner. I'm out in the middle of nowhere.
Does it change when they know you're an Aussie, or do they already know you're an Aussie, or is there a differentiation there somewhere?
Like China, they don't say Australia. They call it some other name, which I can't remember, but I have a little really small sticker on the frame of my bike,
yep,
and I'll point to that.
Right, and does that change things? Does that all of a sudden go, Australian, I get you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. A big smile, or they say kangaroo, or cricket in some of the places.
So in travelling across, you know, Central Asia and all through, you know, Uzbekistan and all those sorts of places, what sort of weird stuff were you eating, or were you just eating normal food?
Central Asia wasn't great. I mean, they have extremes there of, you know, minus 20 in the winter to 40 in the summer, so there's not a lot of stuff they can grow there. They eat a lot of meat and a lot of cured meat. That was probably not the best food along the line.
Yep.
Definitely China was, the provincial food in China was sensational. But I've got a pretty solid stomach, so I don't... I think I've had food sickness once, and that was from a Japanese takeaway in Flinders Street.
That'd be dead right. Do you know how many Ks you've done on this ride?
Well, the legs so far, I've done three in Australia from Margaret River or the Indian Ocean, just on the coast there. I'm up to about 3,000. By the time I get to Melbourne, it'll be over 4,000. So I think it's about 3,600. I will sit down at some point and add the total up, but I think it's something between 18 and 20,000.
You're going to write a book about this, or have you kept a journal as you've been going along?
No, I'm not good at that. So no, I'm not. No.
So when you sit down and you have a, you know, nice cold frothy and think about what you've achieved, what's the one thing that you wanted to get out of it that you know you have got out of it?
The one thing I wanted to get out of it was experiencing other countries at a different level and just travelling as I normally do, which I've done a lot of travel, you know, personally, but not, you know, with golf tours and golf trips and stayed at some nice places and done some nice things. The one thing I had got is just an overall total different perspective on other nationalities and how people live and how we're all the same. You know, or even the, I think I touched on it before, you know, the other countries that I've been to and all these weird, wonderful countries, they want nice politics, as in, you know, regulated politics. They want a better education and health system for the next generation. And they're all nice people. Now, there's idiots everywhere, but the majority of people in every country I've been to are, we're all the same. We're all, you know, we all should be able to live together, and you know, there shouldn't be any big drama.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That would be the one thing that I may not explain it 100% correctly, but that's the one thing I've learnt from the trip. Not that I had preconceived ideas about what these places would be like, but how beautiful human nature is.
Well, you've certainly seen a different level than you normally would, as you say, jumping off a plane and going to a three or four or five-star hotel. So what's the future, Rennie? Do you go back to golf, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I'll get back into golf. I'll be looking for work in the early new year. A good mate of mine in the US wants to ride across the US. So technically, there's no rules to my riding. I've actually, even though my wife's been with me in a car and a van for the Australian League, I've still carried all my own gear, which is a tent and a sleeping bag and clothing and laptop. So
yep.
I will have technically, in my rules, ridden around the world if I do west coast of America to the east coast, and I'll do that probably in the next couple of years or whenever, you know, whenever I find time.
And
is around the world.
Is still the biggest challenge you've ever faced trying to fix my golf swing?
Yeah, look, it wasn't too hard. Kev, how is that golf swing?
I don't know. It's been in the cupboard for 10 years now, Rennie, so I know I had so much to offer to the game, but, you know,
there's a lot of talent there lying in there somewhere.
Just lurking. Mate, congratulations on what you've achieved so far. When do you hope to finish in Melbourne?
I was going to stay in Griffith for 2 days, but I've got north winds forecast for the next 3 days, which is pretty hot, which will be hot, but that's okay. So I'm going to leave tomorrow. So I'm going to be in Melbourne late Sunday afternoon.
And we mentioned that.
Happens. So four days it'll take me to ride the 480Ks down to Melbourne from here.
We mentioned the charity part of it. Obviously, there's a GoFundMe page that people can go to put some money up for the Dementia Foundation.
That'd be great. Yeah, really appreciate it.
Good on you, David. Well done, mate. Good luck with the rest of the ride.
Thanks, Kevin. If you do want a golf lesson, let me know and I'll tell you the secret.
Yeah, thanks, David. Good on you, David. We're in there. Golf professional, teaching golf professional. He's very good at it too. Very patient man, I've got to tell you. Doing that bike ride for Dementia, you can check out the GoFundMe page to help out there. But he's got another 480-odd Ks to go.